Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah in the 9th chapter, beginning with the 2nd verse and concluding with verses 6 and 7. Listen for the word of God to you. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The gospel reading this morning is from Matthew's gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And let the churches hear what the Spirit is saying." As you know, during these Sundays in Advent, Rick Summers and I are using the Isaiah passage from chapter 9 that brings about those wonderful names for the Messiah that are most widely known to us, probably from Handel's Messiah, Christmas Portions. And the first two Sundays of Advent, it has been Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and today the name is Everlasting Father. Meanwhile, in the lectionary passages that are scheduled for this particular Sunday in the three-year ABC cycle of scripture reading in the life of the Christian church, on this Joy Sunday, three of the passages are filled with joy and gladness, with language of gladness and good tidings and joy breaking forth, and the deserts and the parched places blossoming and blooming and being quenched. And then there's the fourth lectionary passage for this Joy Sunday, the gospel passage from Matthew that we read together a moment ago. And it sticks out. It's different. This constant theme going around of joy, joy, joy. And we come across the gospel passage, and it's John the Baptist in jail, in a dungeon, asking a question the depths of which are hard to fathom, a heartbreaking question. He asks through his disciples the question of Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" Who is asking this deep, dark question of Jesus? It is John. John, the fiery baptizer from the wilderness. John, who in his mother's womb leapt for joy when Mary came to visit John's mother, Elizabeth, pregnant with Jesus the Lord. It is John who happily preached the message of Jesus coming as Messiah, that I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with fire and with spirit. He is the one who, when Jesus came to him to be baptized, said to him, I should be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. And John, who, when Jesus was baptized, saw the heavens open and heard the voice from the heavens saying of Jesus, this is my beloved son. What has happened to John that he has fallen so far in what he believes, and certainly what he believes about Jesus and the Messiah? Well, he was certain. He was certain his whole life of how things were, how things were going to be, and who was playing which roles. He knew that the wicked would not prosper, that God would come and wipe them out and put in its place a kingdom of righteousness and of truth, of justice and mercy. This harkens back to that Isaiah passage where the names for the Messiah are offered. And today we're focusing on Everlasting Father. You see, a lot of the scriptural imagery that points to the Messiah, how the Messiah will be this God with us person, this God in our midst. And scripture over and over again in Isaiah and in the Psalms and elsewhere says, this kingdom will be different. This king will look at and see and hear the cries and the pain of the people, especially the scriptures love to point out the widows, the orphans, those who have been caught in the teeth and suffer under the crushing weight of the systems that we create and perpetuate. John knew these scriptures, believed it his whole life, and couldn't wait for this moment that had finally at long last come, when the Messiah would sweep all of the wickedness away and bring about this kingdom of justice and righteousness. And now, this King Herod, who John would regularly speak power to, the truth to his power, has cast him into prison, into a dungeon, waiting almost certain death. This wild and lone prophet is now captured and lonely. This fiery preacher, this fiery prophet who could see everything coming so clearly, is now clouded out. All of the fear and worry and doubt and misgivings of this present situation that he's suffering, enduring, and enduring have clouded out everything that he was so certain about. And it's all that he can see. All of his expectations of the Messiah seem to be vanishing before his sight. He is down in the depths of that dungeon and down in the depths of his soul. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place when everything you were so sure about, everything you'd worked your whole life to be and to point to, suddenly didn't make any sense anymore? The way that you were going has disappeared. The ending that you could foresee has vanished from your sight completely. And you don't know where to turn. And it crowds you out so much, it's all you can see and all you can think about. I've been in dungeons like that in my life, in my soul. And one of the things that occurs to me, I would so desperately love to hear and experience, is a word from that ideal father, that father, mother, creator, being, presence that's talked about in Scripture, that looks right at you and your crisis, your situation, your doubts and your dilemma, and says, first of all, I love you, no matter what. and then begins to offer you that wisdom so far beyond your capacity, especially in a moment of crisis and deep doubt, begins to speak the wisdom, offer you perspective, a broader view that helps those clouds begin to part and helps you again to see the world more fully. I believe that that is the kind of message that Jesus sent to John in that dungeon. Though it strikes me a little odd, Jesus' response, when I first see it and read it. Jesus tells John's disciples to take this message back to John. Go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind can see, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are being raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Go and tell John that. And I hear in that everlasting Father, love and presence and wisdom and perspective that helps to create in John the possibility that we heard a young person say so well during the time with the children, Jesus others you, joy. Jesus others you. Jesus, first of all, is reminding John to stop looking at your present situation, no matter how grim, and look out there. And look at whose lives are being touched and transformed. And particularly, Jesus says, look at the kinds of people whose lives are being touched and transformed. They are the ones at the bottom. They are the ones who have been trapped for so long and can see no way out. They are the ones that people refuse to touch. These are the ones who are being seen and heard, whose whole lives are being transformed. And these transformed people are then seeing and hearing the stories of others, telling their own stories, and more transformations are occurring as a result. But in telling John this message and sending this message back to John, interestingly, Jesus never makes a single I statement. Go and tell John what I've been doing. He never says it like that. He says, go and tell John what you see and hear. Go and tell John what you see and hear. This is happening. This is breaking out. And it almost as if he's saying, I don't know quite where it's coming from, but it's happening. He never takes credit for it and instead gives his power away freely. Perhaps even reminding John, this was your work too. When people felt trapped, like all of their institutions that mattered to them, political, religious, personal, were collapsing, were untrustworthy, John offered them something new. Come and cleanse yourself from all of that. And then repent, return, reorient your lives, and start all over again. A fresh start to those who felt there was no way out. It's a loving reminder that John has been part of this work. It's that gift of perspective. However hard, seemingly impossible it is in the moment, do not dwell on and focus on your own crisis, no matter how dark and dim, but other. Look out at the others, see them, hear them, participate with them, help to meet their needs, and watch the transformations occur and the kingdom come. As you know, every year during Passover, at the Seder meal in homes across the world, there's an extra place setting at the table, and a very powerful and an exciting and anticipatory moment during the meal when the door is opened to welcome in Elijah. Elijah, who is foretold to return and announce the Messiah's coming. And for thousands of years, that door has been opened, and the anticipation and the silence grabs the family For thousands of years, all that has entered has been the wind. There's an Hasidic story in Jewish faith that takes it further, that there was a man who was struggling with the fact that year after year, Elijah did not come, heralding that the Messiah was here, and complains to his rabbi and wonders aloud to him, wouldn't this be a great time for Elijah to come? Why not this year? And the rabbi took this very seriously and pondered it, and he said, in your village, there's a poor family with many children. I want you to go to the man and offer to provide their entire Seder meal as luxurious as you can. And if you do this, Elijah will come. And so the man goes and he does as his rabbi said, and he comes back shortly thereafter complaining, I did everything you told me to, and Elijah still did not come. And the rabbi said, I know perfectly well that Elijah did come that night, but of course you could not see. And holding a mirror up to the man, said, this was the face of Elijah that night. Word came to First Pres that there are people in our community worshiping inside of the St. Aloysius community, many of whom are immigrants, many of whom are fearful for their future. They've heard stories in the media, they've heard talk, and they're worried that they're being watched, that they will be reported, that they will be deported. And because of their fears of how they're being seen in the community, word came to folks at Caldwell, and there's a handful of folks who have decided that today, during the St. Guadalupe Mass and Festival, they will simply go. Very obviously not a part of that congregation, but a part of the community that surrounds them. Go and say, very simply, very powerfully, we see you, we hear you, and we stand with you. That's the face of Elijah. And as they other these people, as they stop looking at what's going on in their lives, but looking at the pain of the people in the lives around them, and begin to see them, hear them, address their pain, the kingdom breaks forth, and the Messiah has come again. Brothers and sisters, this is the journey we are on in this Advent. Some of our stories are not the happiest. Some of them do not have happy endings. Brothers and sisters, our eternal Father sees us, hears us, loves us unconditionally, and has recruited all of you to be the heralds that the kingdom and the Messiah has indeed come. Thanks be to God. Amen.